You are listening to The Christian Commute, a commute-length podcast about Christian apologetics, theology, and other matters of Christian interest. Here is your host, Seth Dunn.
It is Friday, October 29th. This is The Christian Commute. Yeah. The Christian Commute is still a thing, and I am your host, Seth Dunn, and you are riding with me to my friend Steven's house. I'm going over there to watch the Braves with him. It's a whole family thing. Our sons are friends. Our daughters are friends. And we're going to have ballpark-themed food and have a good time watching the Atlanta Braves in the World Series in Game 3 if it doesn't get rained out. But I'm a little behind because I'm just now leaving the office. It's nearly 7. That's okay. The game doesn't start till 8. So I will just let those nice people deal with all my kids for the next hour. And I'll show up when everybody settled down and watch baseball. Sounds good to me. I came in the office today because I had to, meet with a vendor. Very busy with work, but whenever I'm driving, I have time to do a Christian Commute. It's been a while. Last Saturday was my favorite day of the year, the third Saturday in October, when Alabama plays Tennessee. This Saturday is my least favorite day of the year. It's when all the budget stuff is due and month in and horrible, horrible, horrible. But tomorrow will worry about itself. How about that? Let's just enjoy the Christian Commute, and I have a full show for you today. I'm in Studio F. Studio F is my 1993 Ford F-150 that my father-in-law gave me. Now my wife says it's hers, and technically he signed it over in her name, but I drive it. I had to pick it up today because it had some body work done on it. Don't look a gift horse in the mouth? No, look it in the mouth, because the tire will explode if you don't. So I'm driving a truck today like a real man. Ford F-150, even though it's a V6. Love my shiny red pickup truck. Pulling on to I-75 with a full show, and I think I've got pretty much a full tank of gas. My father-in-law's like, you can drive it to work. I'm like, I'm not driving a truck to work. It'll bankrupt me. Anyway, full show. Like I said, by the way, Brother William has been sending me Alabama picks. I just haven't had time to put them on the show, but we all know Alabama beat Tennessee. There's the update. Full show. Today's show title is Slouching Towards Crosspoint with Todrick Hall. Slouching Towards Crosspoint with Todrick Hall. I have a question in the inbox about the end times. Not really an area of my expertise, but this is an easy question, and I'm going to nail it. And, of course, we have the Bible chapter review. And let me throw this in. On the way here, I recorded a show topic on the way to work. Not a full show, just a show topic. So that's in the hopper somewhere. I'll tack that on to the end of a show when I find time to do it. But let's get to today's scripture in Matthew chapter 6, almost to the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 33. And I have this sneaky feeling that I skipped verse 28 and 29, where Jesus says, if God so clothes the lilies of the field, which is here today, but tomorrow thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? So if I skip that, there it is. And it gets hard to remember what scripture I left off on when I keep missing shows. Anyway, we're on verse 31 in this show, Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 through 33. Do not worry then. All right, so then what? Why would we worry? Because what Jesus just said about how God so clothes the lilies of the field. All right. Do not worry then, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear for clothing? Again, basic necessities. It's not worrying that you don't have enough polo clothes and you have to wear Crown and Ivy from Belk. That's not it. It's not saying that, oh, I've got a dinner party and I don't have enough veal and I'm going to have to serve hamburger steak. That's not it. It's not saying that I have a dinner party and oh, I don't have fancy enough wine, because only non-Baptists worry about that. We Baptists aren't worried about having fancy wine, because we don't drink the devil's alcohol. But, oh, I don't have the best kind of wine, and I'm going to have to serve water. No. Very basic thing. Eating, drinking, and being clothed. These are your basic needs. And Jesus is saying, don't worry about those things. For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. Well, doesn't everybody? Right? And not only do the Gentiles eagerly seek all those things, the Gentiles eagerly seek all those things in a worldly, materialistic way. They're not just worried about water, they're worried about the wine. They're not just worried about the crown and ivy clothes, they need Tommy Hilfiger, they need Polo, they need the Brooks Brothers. And I am of a class of person where that's as high end as I know. I know there's more expensive clothes, but I don't even know what those are. I'm just a regular dude. You know, then they're not worried about hamburger steak. They're worried about filet mignon. How's it look? How we look before people. But the Gentiles are worried about these things. They're eagerly seeking these things. Their material needs, even the basic ones, and there's nothing wrong with needing material things and getting your material things. Nothing wrong with getting your daily bread. But the Gentiles are all caught up worried about these things, these worldly material things, first. Not spiritual things. That's the point. For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. So what's the Gentiles' problem? The Gentiles' problem is they don't have a heavenly Father. They are, as it were, spiritual orphans. Because they have not been reconciled to God. They have not been adopted as sons. They are not members of the household of Israel. But your Father, your heavenly Father, knows that you need these things. And here's the action. This is the end of it. We've talked about the sparrows. We've talked about the lilies. We've talked about the worries of this world. But this is Jesus' point. This is the action point. This is how you should act. But seek first His kingdom. That is the kingdom of your heavenly Father. Seek first His kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Don't get them out of order. If you're seeking your material needs in the world, and that is your number one priority, God will be the number two priority. You can't serve God and money. Money is what gets you these things. No, serve God. And God knows you need these things. He'll get you these things. But you need to be focused on seeking Him, His kingdom, and righteousness. Righteousness should be more important to you than food, water, and clothes. Because that's what it's all about, so to speak, really. And with that, we'll end the Bible chapter review. And we're going to stay in the book of Matthew. We're going to stay in the book of Matthew. We're going to go to the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25. This question is from Mike in Orlando. And I don't know if Mike in Orlando has ever written in before. Thank you for writing in, Mike. And I'm sorry for letting your question get so old and stale. It's an odd time in the Christian commute. A lot of working from home. I feel like I can't get unbusy. Anyway, I'm getting to this question today. And yes, it's out of order. I know there's others in there. Sorry, Frank. And thank you, Terry, for writing in yesterday. But this is Mike's question. Is the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25 about physically prepping? What does he mean? Yeah, you ever heard about these people? They're a prepper. They're a prepper. They got a bug out bag. They got a bomb shelter. They got a 6 month supply of aluminum food and aluminum tin cans or whatever. Big old cans of beans, beef jerky stocked up. And these people, hey, they're looking pretty good right now. Guys, I work in supply chain. I work in ordering things and getting materials for manufacturing from halfway across the world to here. It's tough right now. You order stuff on Amazon, sorry, we ain't got it. Seems like the supply chain is breaking down. I feel like we're 6 months away from Mad Max. I always say that. We run out of something. I'm like, it's Mad Max. This is Mad Max. And if you've never seen that movie, sorry, but that's when the world breaks down. So, guys, you start, you know, first of all, it's like toys for Christmas, but then it's stuff like, oh, man, I can't get toilet paper. And then it's stuff like, oh, crap, I can't get ground beef. So I am not downing people who are preppers or people who have a stock, but I'm saying there are people out there who are preppers for the end times. Well, oh, it's the tribulation's going to happen, and we got to be ready for it. And they want to get into arguments about, well, is there a pre-trib rapture? Because if there's a pre-trib rapture, I don't have to prep for anything. I'm gone. But what if it's a mid-trib or post-trib rapture? Well, we got to be ready. Things are going to get bad. There's going to be persecution. The world's going to be wrecked, and we got to be ready for the end times. And the people who believe that are going to prep for it. And one of those people approached Mike and said, hey, the parable of the 10 virgins proves that you need to physically prep for the eschaton, for the end times. And Mike says, is that true? Is the parable of the 10 virgins about physically prepping? The answer is no. And it's a really stupid assertion to assert that. First of all, this is a parable. Second of all, let's go to another parable, because Matthew's full of parables. And that this parable is about the end times and Christ's return. And you can pause the show and go read it. Pause, unpause. And now you've seen that there's the 10 virgins and the bridegroom has invited them to the feast. But some of them don't have oil. And they tell the other ones, give us oil, because they have to go out at night, I think. And then there's a note, we have our oil, you weren't prepared. And then they get locked out. They were not. And the parable is that. The parable is, be prepared for the return of Christ. That's the message of the parable. And I guess this guy's telling Mike, see, they weren't physically prepared. So the parable is, you have to be physically prepared for the return of Christ. And I say, hey, dude, let's just go to another parable. Let's go to the parable of the wicked tenants. So what is the parable of the wicked tenants? That there was a landowner who had a vineyard and he rented it out to tenants for short of a sharecropper situation. They were going to tend to the vineyard, pick the grapes, maybe make the wine, I don't know, and then they were going to give the landowner his cut. So I don't know, they were going to harvest $100,000 worth of grapes, and then they were going to give the landowner $20,000 for being the landowner, and they were going to keep 80, I guess. That's sort of like that. So they're renting this vineyard, and the landlord sends his servant for the rent. But they beat up the servant. So he sends another one. They kill that one. Or beat him up. I don't remember. And then he says, surely they'll respect my son. So he sends his son. Because they've been beating up the servants. And what do? They say, ha ha, here's the son. He's the heir. We will kill the son so this guy won't have an heir. And then we'll take this land for ourselves. So they kill the son. And Jesus asks, what's the landlord going to do to those tenants now? And everybody who he's talking to gets it. Because the wicked tenants are the Jews. The son is Jesus, who's been sent from God. And they beat him up and they're rejecting him. And the landowner is God. And it's a parable of Israel. And about living right in the land. And he's basically saying, you guys are going to get kicked out for people who are going to pay the rent. You wicked people who don't respect the son. So, Mike, what would your friend say about that? That you got to be ready with your vineyard rent? I mean, it's not literally about paying rent to a landlord when you work on his vineyard and live on his vineyard. Just like it's literally not about having enough oil and for your lamp to go to the wedding feast. This is not about being physically prepared with a stock of stuff for the end time. It's about what? Being spiritually prepared. Being found doing what you're supposed to do. That's the theme in multiple parables that Jesus says, by the way. Are we supposed to go, I don't know, loan a servant a money and then forgive his debt? Because that's what happened in the parable where Jesus tells us the story about the master forgives a servant his debt, and then that guy goes and beats up a guy who owes him money, and he says, well, you, if you don't forgive others, you won't be forgiven. That's really silly. That's eisegesis. It's not understanding what parables are. It's a really bad argument. So here's the thing, Mike. I wouldn't trust that guy's judgment about the end times parables at all. It's hard enough to interpret Revelation and these end time prophecies, and this guy can't even get a basic parable right. At least Jesus explains the parables to us. A lot of times in the parable, Jesus explains it afterwards. Like, this guy just made up an idea. So his whole idea is improper hermeneutics. So he, in theory, he could be right about a post-trib or mid-trib rapture, but he's still way, way off on Matthew 25. He doesn't get what a parable is. He's taking it literally when it suits what he's saying. And by the way, some of these people, they can make prepping their hobby. They get prepper magazines. They read the websites. They like to tell people, I was prepared. None of y'all are prepared. Y'all are all grasshoppers and I'm the ant. People like to feel that way. Not that it's not good to be prepared. My gosh, be prepared. Isn't that the Boy Scouts motto? Always be prepared. Not a bad motto. So thank you, Mike, for writing in for maybe the first time. I can't remember if you've ever written in before. Always like it when people who have never written in write in, or if people I haven't heard from in a long time, like Terry, drop me a line. And you can do that at SethDunn88@gmail.com. SethDunn88@gmail.com or dial 470-315-0875. That's the Christian Commute Roadside Assistance Line. The Christian Commute is your theological roadside assistance. Okay, let's get today's show topic, slouching towards Cross Point with Todrick Hall. All right, and I didn't know who Todrick Hall was until yesterday, so I'll set this up with a story. In the Cartersville Recreation League, we have flag football in our city, we have flag football, and we have tackle football, and then we have cheerleading. So you can put your kid in whatever you want to put them in. But all the cheerleaders are Cartersville Hurricane purple and gold cheerleaders. And there's several squads, and these squads are huge. There's 20 girls on them. I think there's over 20 girls in my girls' cheerleading squad. One of my girls plays flag football. Their season's over. And one of the girls does cheerleading. But like I said, there's three or four squads. And they all have the same little routine they do. They do some cheers during the game, and they do a halftime routine where they do some choreographed stunts and a little dance. You guys have seen this before, I'm sure. And they'll do it in between the flag football game or in between the tackle football game. It doesn't matter. They're just out there doing it. And they did it yesterday at halftime of my flag football game. So I'm out there coaching six-year-old kids. And for the record, we shut the team out, and we beat them 14-0. All right, for the record. For the record, we're tied for first place. But anyway, that's not what the story is about. The story is about I'm standing there on the sideline at halftime, and they're playing over the PA system lyrics to the song that the girls are dancing to. And these are, a lot of time, these are top 40 songs that I don't listen to. I mean, I don't listen to this. Like, oh, you gotta dance. Oh, you gotta, you like my moves. Oh, you dance, girl. Boop, 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 shake it, shake it. You know, I don't listen to that. But, so I never know the songs. I'm never familiar with them. But for whatever reason, I just zoned in on the lyrics of this song. You know, in between yelling at my kids to do better, because we got shut out in the first half. You gotta do better. And I heard the lyrics say, I was at the dance club and I saw my ex and I did a split on the dance floor to let him know what he was missing. And normally I would think, oh, but today I was like, wait a minute. It sounds like a man is singing this song. And if a man is singing this song, why would his ex be a he? And I'm like, are they just playing a song by some sodomite? And this sodomite is talking about being at a dance club, seeing his ex-boyfriend, and then rubbing up on some other dude on the dance floor, and then doing a split as to show off his butt and his flexibility to the person, his ex, who formerly inserted his genitalia in that guy's butthole. Because that's what homosexuals do. All right, love is love. All right, their quote-unquote love is putting a genitalia in a butthole. All right, that's what they do. And this is the imagery of this gay dude at a dance club showing off his butt to some guy who wants that butt. And I'm like, they just played this song in public over a loudspeaker right here in the middle of the Bible Belt, and they got eight-year-old girls dancing to it. So I Googled the lyrics of the song real fast on my phone. They had the F word in there. They had GD. And it was this profane song. So I'm like, this is highly offensive. So I see the cheer. I walk all the way across the football field around the track because I didn't want to get in the girls' way because the other squad was performing by this time. And I walk up to this lady, I don't know, mid-40s. Are you the coach? Yes. And I say, are you a church-going woman? Because if I'm walking up to some lost woman, I'm not going to start talking about how a song about some homosexual pointing his butt around is profane. Because they have worldly values. That's why I'm hearing the Bible about asking if you're a church-going woman. Yes. And she's like, yeah, more or less. What is more or less? So I'm already saying, like, yeah, all right, you halfway Christian, I get it. You say you go to church. More. If somebody asked me, are you a church-going person? Yes. Then I'm going to, without being prompted, explain to them, this is where I go to church. And this is what we believe. And you, do you know Jesus? I mean, you know people like that. Yeah, I go to church. Where do you go to church? I got saved when I was this many years old. I got baptized here. My preacher said this. I mean, people who have the Holy Spirit, they love to talk about their church and then try to evangelize you into coming. And even people who don't have the Holy Spirit who are just brainwashed goats won't invite you to church too. Some of the people are like, you got to hand these things out. Hand them out and write down how many people you invited to church. But this woman's like, said something to the degree, yeah, more or less or pretty much. You know, well, where do you go to church? Cross Point. Surprise, surprise. You guys who are longtime listeners of the show know Cross Point is the local seeker-sensitive jeans and coffee and Hillsong church for the unchurched. It disgusts me. So this is exactly what I would expect of somebody who just goes to church sometimes and says they go to Cross Point. And by the way, I want to make this clear. Just because there's just one lady playing a profane song doesn't mean everybody at Cross Point thinks that's okay. But I'm just saying that's what I would expect. And I said, this song is profane. And it's got all these lyrics. It's got the, and I didn't put it together yet because I couldn't remember if it was a man singing it, that it was gay stuff. And she's like, well, that's why we cut it off at a minute 27. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, but it's not like the girls are going to go home and tell Alexa to play it. Because you listen to the quote unquote clean version without the F word and then cut it off when it starts talking about more dirty stuff. And I said, wasn't that a man talking about his boyfriend? Wasn't that a man singing it? She goes, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? And it is a man. And I Googled him today, and his name is Todrick Hall. And like I said, I've never heard of him because I don't listen to this type of music. But Todrick Hall is, in fact, a homosexual, and his song is Do I Have Your Attention? Do I Have Your Attention? Maybe you've heard this song before. I haven't. And there's girls listening to this song sung by a homosexual, blurring it out that here's my butt on the dance floor. Let me stick it out so this guy can be jealous that he is not sodomizing me in my butt. And that's what they played for little girls at Cartersville. And I said to this woman, the song is profane. And I asked her, I thought, well, what would your pastor James think about that? Knowing full well that James probably is just glad that somebody shows up. Well, we're just glad they're here. You know, that kind of idea. But that's low. That is an unholy person. That is somebody who in their everyday life does not seek first righteousness. Whatever song they find for the girls to teeny bop to doesn't make a difference to them. They don't listen to the lyrics. They think it's okay. We'll blurt it out. We'll blurt it out in public. Maybe they listen to the explicit version in their car. I don't know. And here's why I say this is slouching towards Cross Point here that we're here in the Bible Belt. Because there's 20 little girls on that team. And their moms and dads show up to watch them dance to this song every week. Guys, I've seen my little girl do her same routine 3 or 4 times. And I've missed 3 or 4 of them because I've been coaching football games on another field. All right, they do the same thing every time. Quite frankly, it gets old. I don't run the same football play every time. Why do they do the same dance and flip every time? That's another subject. But there, if it's 20 girls, that's 40 parents. So you've had 40 parents sit there all year long for 8 games. Listen to this song and not pull their girl off the team or make this woman stop. They're okay with it. They're just okay with their girls dancing to a song about enticing someone to sodomy. I mean, some of these little dance songs are bad enough. There was an occasion last year where one of the cheer coaches was playing this song, that it was a profane song. I forget which one it was. And I went to her because I used to go to church with her when I was young. I was like, why are you playing this song? Do you not know that this is what it says? And she's like, oh my gosh, I'm sorry, I didn't think of that. I'll find a different version. And she reacted very well. But what I'm saying is, this is the standard of where we are at the Bible Belt. And I want to ask you this. Would you be ashamed if a member of your church was playing that song, or out there had their little girl dancing to that song, and somebody came up to them offended? Because my six-year-old kid is out there. I mean, I don't know if he's listening to it or not. He's barely listening to me call the football plays. But I'm out there, number one, trying to win football games. I'm not out there. I'm out there to teach these men character and grow. No, I'm out there to win. All right. And quite, if somebody went out there and saw me, they'd be like, that's a church guy. That guy has a Christian podcast. Because I am yelling and I am screaming and I'm like, why did you miss that play? You got to do this. I mean, I'm like, hey guys, we can do better. Hey, let's all pray for a tie. I'm not like that. I'm like, you got to win. All right. So I'm out there intense. Okay. I'm out there to win. No bones about it. But as I'm out there to win, I want my guys to learn to play with sportsmanship, to be nice to the other kids, to listen to their coaches, to be respectful to adults and leaders, to be good teammates. And I pray with my kids because I want them to know that that's important, that we're thanking God that we get to do this. So I care about those boys, not just my son, but the other boys too. Those are my boys. And I don't want my boys out there having some sodomite blasted at them in the form of recreation. It's just perverse. But would you be offended if you were a part of that? And listen, I guarantee you that at least half of those people go to church somewhere. But they've lost their standard of what it is to be holy. And it's like that kind of cross-point standard, like this is okay. Now, I guarantee you if you went to the pastor of Crosspoint Church and said, is this song okay? He'd be like, no, this is not okay. Like, these things are sinful. I guarantee you he would tell you that. But the standard of the people in that community or the people in churches like that is like, well, whatever. We're going to go play this and we're not even going to give a thought to our holiness. What are your kids listening to? Like, I don't know the name of the song that my girls do, but I remember at their first little performance, like listening to it, and it's like, all right, I guess this is okay. Like, I didn't hear anything bad. Listen, I'm not digging to find bad things. I'm listening to what I hear, all right? And it should be apparent. But to me, and I'm not, you're a Pharisee, Seth. You're talking, thank you that I'm not like them, Lord. To me, like, when I hear something like that, I'm like, this is profane, this is unbad, this is ungodly. I don't want to be a part of that. And is that the attitude that you and the people at your church have? Or are you slouching towards Crosspoint into like, we just want to do anything to make people comfortable to be here? Because if that's your attitude, if your attitude is we're going to get people here, you're going to start lowering your standards. And it's going to start with stuff like the youth or the kids' Sunday school. It's going to be little fun little activities. Arts and crafts and games and dress up. But it's not going to be about Bible, 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 Bible. It's about get people, get people, get people. And guys, when we become so attractional, and I don't want to say we make an idol of numbers about getting people here, but when we make our churches about we got to get people here to be here and be a part of it, we just lose holiness. We just lose it. And I'm not trying to be anti-evangelistic. You can be evangelistic and holy, and I think to be effectively evangelistic, you have to be effectively holy. Otherwise, you're just gathering goats. But I've talked before on this show about, are you guys going to the Church of Travel Ball on Sunday instead of church? And what is that teaching your kids? What are you teaching your kids when you don't reject the worldly? Because quite frankly, in today's world, I understand that people are going to go out there and dance about sodomy and not think a thing of it. Like 20 years ago, if I'd have just went to the director of the parks and say, that's some gay dude talking about his butt, he'd be like, we're turning this off. No, it's just like, it would be a civil decency based around a Judeo-Christian culture. And that's not where we are. I expect worldly people to act like the world. But let me just ask you this. Can people tell the members of your church from worldly people? And do the members of your church even know the difference? Or are you slouching towards Crosspoint? And again, Crosspoint didn't send this lady out there to play this profane song. I'm just saying it typifies the type of person involved with that type of church culture. Because if you bring that lady into a certain type of church, she'll just be revolted by their standards. What? Your skirts are below your knee? You know, where's it saying in the Bible your skirt has to be below your knee? What? Your skirt's below your knee? What? You guys don't drink on the weekends? What? You guys don't listen to Todrick Hall and Lil Nas and whoever else? And that, listen, that person just kind of goes away. They're just like, I'm not comfortable here around these holy people. They're not my people. But when anything goes, it's the frog in a boiling point of water, or the boiling pot of water. You put a frog in tepid water, you turn it to boil, and he just stays in there as it boils him. That's an old wives' tale. I don't know if it's true or not. Maybe it is. I mean, I'm not going to sit there and test it. I'm not going to boil a frog to see if it works. Although there are lots of frogs at my house. I live next to a creek. Anyway, I just want to ask you, because it's football season, are you slouching towards Crosspoint in the world and any kind of lack of holiness or difference in your cheerleading stuff? What are you putting up with? Because I guarantee you, if I'd have heard that from my daughter's squad, I'd have pulled her aside, I'd have went to our cheer coach and said, you need to stop this profane song. And I understand if you're not going to, but my daughter is not going to be a part of it. And I'm going to go to the other parents to get their opinions if you don't stop it. But the first thing I would ask her is, you're a church-going woman. What kind of church are you going to? Every now and then. Thanks for listening to the Christian Commute. Lord willing, I'll be back with you again. I don't know. Some other time next week. Lord willing, I'll never hear a Todrick Hall song again. As always, God bless. And as always, remember, Christianity is not about getting saved. It's about being saved.
Thanks for listening to the Christian Commute. Please send your questions about Christian apologetics and theology to sethdunn88@gmail.com. If you are not a Christian, please remember that you can be reconciled to God through the shed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Repent of your sins now and accept Jesus as Lord. God bless.